So we did a lot of, we did a review basically last week, and what did we learn last week in our review? We learned that we need to study. So we're going to start today on the Albigenses. Anybody see this? Do you guys see this? Can you turn a little bit? Okay. So the Albigenses. So far we've seen that most of the people groups that we've dealt with have been named after generally a person, like the Montanists, Novatians, the Donatists. Typically they take on the name of their leader, if you will. Not so with the Albigenses, and we'll see here in a minute where their name is derived from. But Psalm 22, 4 through 5 says, "Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded." Just to share a thought as I, you know, studied this lesson, and I've had this thought at other times. You play devil's advocate. I hate that term. Does anybody have a better term than that? Because I really hate that term. Because I never want to be the devil's advocate. But what's that? Anyways, pose the question. Have you ever thought, if you read scripture like this, "Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered." Think back to the Exodus, prior to the Exodus, 400 years of slavery, servitude, persecution, abuse at the hand of the Egyptians and the taskmasters. And God delivered his people, right? You think every single one of those people felt like they got delivered? Do you think? Is there ever a time in your life when you feel like you're not getting delivered as an individual? You know, like some we read in different accounts in scripture where God's talking about delivering his people. But sometimes through that deliverance, not everybody, it's not always a fairy tale ending for the individual. But God delivered his people, right? Sometimes I find myself in that place where, you know, God, are you going to deliver me? I know you're going to deliver us. Are you going to deliver me? It's just a little too much of a focus on me. And just thinking through that, thinking through those instances in Scripture, you're not the center of the universe, neither am I. Now, God loves each and every one of us, cares for us. But if you're truly surrendered to his purpose, you've already been delivered. Doesn't mean we might not suffer persecution, right? But I'm delivered from death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Right? Just a little thought. But should have already read pages 71 and 72 for the sake of time. We're not going to. So the Albigenses, AD 700, they were named for the southern French town of Albi. This area was known for dissent and resistance to the Holy Mother Church. So these people, they were kind of known as troublemakers, depending on your point of view, right? If you're a Catholic church, if you're Protestant, you know, these people are troublemakers. That's how they look at us, troublemakers. Who else was a troublemaker?
Christ.
Right? You know, it's always the religious people that are saying everybody else is troublemakers. You guys are troublemakers. You guys are a problem. You're dissenters. You don't just go along with the program. Well, you see, they weren't protesters, they weren't Protestant, neither are we. They're separatists. So are we. We believe in separation from error. We're not revisionists, we're not reformers, we're not Protestants, we're separatists. At least I am. I'm pretty sure most of you are too. But these people were separatists. They were never part of the Catholic Church. They had no desire for the Catholic Church. So over here is Albi in southern France. I'm sorry, I take that back. I lost my place. G. Where's G? Well, oh yeah, right there. Sorry. So Albi's right there in southern France. And then over here is Rome. And up here in northern France, we have J is Tours. Now, if you study this geography, as we'll see here in a minute, there are some arguments that kind of say that the Albigenses came about by a heavy influence of the Waldenses. There's actually quite a few different views on the origin of the Albigenses. At the end of the day, nobody, I think, really knows for sure. But it's not really important. What's important is what they believe, what they stood for. So some historians trace Albigenses back to the Paulicians. Others say they existed since New Testament times in southern France as a result of Paul's missionary journeys. The historian Faber wrote this concerning the Albigenses and their place in Baptist history. Can somebody read that for me? Mary, see that? Go ahead.
From the apostolic age itself down to the present, that venerable church has been seated in the valleys of the Cotentin Alps. There it has never ceased to profess one of the same unvarying theological system, thus faithfully reflecting the sincere, unadulterated gospel of primitive Christianity, and there, both ecclesiastical and morally, the practice of its members that has happily corresponded with their religious profession. This very remarkable church forms in the first instance the chain of connection between the primitive church and the church of the Albigenses.
Okay, so basically what's being said here is that we see the moving towards the more modern day Christian, true Christian church, as we would know it. Of course, you know, as time has come and things have changed, but basically this is kind of like the link to the past. The Albigenses, right next to the Waldenses, probably the most important people group that we can study in understanding our Baptist heritage as it relates to the time of the New Testament time. So God blessed them. They spread rapidly through southern France. Their influence concerned the Catholic institution. First, the Catholics attempted to convert them through ecclesiastical conversion. So I'll read something to you real quick. So basically what they did is, I'll just read this and let it speak for itself. The Catholics at first attempted to convert the Albigenses through ecclesiastical coercion. This failed largely because the simple Albigensians knew the Word of God. Latern II, 1137 AD, and the Council of Tours, 1163 AD, condemned them as heretics. Pope Innocent III, 1160-1216 AD, initiated at least four crusades against the Albigenses beginning in 1208 AD. I won't read any further because it kind of plays into what we're going to get into. But so basically, there was, 1177. The kings of France and England, from a desire to stop heresy, first resolved to attack the Albigenses by military force, but afterward thought it would be more prudent to send preachers first. Accordingly, the archbishops of Berry and Narbonne, with Reginald, Bishop of Bath, and others of figure, appeared among these people. These preaching commissioners exacted an oath of the Catholics that they should give information of and against the Albigenses. Great numbers were in consequence discovered, and on being cited before these bishops, a confession of the Catholic faith was submitted to them, and they were required to swear to their belief of it. But the Albigenses refused to swear or take any oath. Consequently, the Albigenses, Paulicians, or Waldenses in Gascon and province were excommunicated, and all persons under the fear of the pontiff were forbidden to entertain them in their houses or country. The severity of this measure drove many into other kingdoms. Others were led to abjure their opinions and to rest the princes, and the rest the princes were requested to banish out of their dominions. So their first attempt, the Catholic Church's first attempt, was along with the government, was to send in preachers to coerce them. Basically, what they did is they came in, it'd be like the Pope sending, who's the highest ranking under the Pope? Cardinal? Okay, so it'd be like the Pope sending the Cardinal in here. And he's going to set us all straight, right? He's going to come in here, he's going to open the Word of God. And he's going to start to explain to us how we're in error. How well do you think that's going to work out in this particular church? Because I know most people in this church know the Word of God. I would actually enjoy to see that.
You're welcome to sit for service.
Yeah, sit down, might learn something. But that's what this amounted to. These people were well-versed in the Word of God, right? They were led of the Holy Spirit. They had understanding of the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. So then these clergymen, these bishops and preachers, if you will, they came in and, oh, you simple, we're going to help you out, right? It didn't work. Okay, they got blasted. They got sent packing, humiliated. Okay, so that was the first attempt, ecclesiastical conversion. This would not work because the Albigenses knew the Word of God. They were then falsely accused by Rome to be Manichaeans, as were the Paulicians and the Waldenses. Rome used this as a reason to persecute them. This alleged heresy was a cross between Persian Zoroastrianism and Gnosticism. Some big words in there, right? Manichaeism, Persian Zoroastrianism, Gnosticism. Okay, so I'm going to sum this up without going, because I've looked each one of these up and knew a little bit about a few of them. But anyway, studied them out a little bit. Basically what this boils down to is these three things right here, Manichaeism, Zoroastrianism, and Gnosticism, it's basically this idea that there's light and there's dark. There's good and there's evil. There's a good God and a bad God, right? All right, so this sounds like, you know, all these, like Hinduism is influenced by this stuff. Most of your false religions are influenced by this stuff. It's prevalent in our movies and comic books and all this stuff. All these stuff these kids are into today, it is prevalent, okay? Does the Bible teach that Satan is on equal footing with God?
No.
Oh. Well, so basically, I'm not going to get into teaching about Manichaeism and this stuff, but if you study that out, you'll just find that you can shatter this stuff very easily with the Word of God. Okay? It doesn't hold water. But the point is that the Catholic Church, they basically have, you'll see two constant themes in their approach to anybody throughout history. Convert or die. Right? Either you're in error and you'll admit your error, or we're going to make up some stuff and accuse you of being, you know, false and all this heresy and this, that, and the other. That's what they did. That's what they've done throughout history. Okay? So that was the next move. So if we can't get you to cooperate, then we're going to get rid of you. Okay? Does anybody think that's going to be any different in the coming days? Why would it be? So next, Rome would turn to merciless persecutions. In AD 1139, Lateran II condemned them as heretics. The Council of Tours did the same in 1163. So I'm going to read you something. So we read here a minute ago that Latern and the Council of Tours condemned them as heretics. It goes on to say here that one instance will serve to show the nature of these persecutions. Actually, I'll go to the next slide because it points this out too. So, organized crusades against the Albigenses have been termed as one of the black spots in history. In one instance, the town of Beziers was before the attacking armies. Rather than seek out the Albigenses from among the Catholic populace, the papal authority gave the order to kill them all. The Lord knows his own. The heartless soldiers obeyed. All were slain, including women and children. Almost 20,000 were murdered in bloody fashion in this one attack. If you've been in the military, you've probably seen a patch or heard the term used, kill them all, let God sort them out. That's where this comes from. People go around saying that, making a mockery of it, and don't have any idea what they're talking about. I've seen those patches. I mean, I was in Afghanistan. I've seen guys wearing patches. I heard people say, I said it. Had no idea what I was saying. But that's where this comes from. So it goes on that one important point to know about this event. Prior to this event, so the Pope, I believe it was Latern, what he did to get soldiers, what the Catholic Church did to get soldiers who would do this, is they issued a decree that if you would come and fight on this crusade, you are guaranteed a place in heaven. If you'll fight for the church, for the Pope, in defense of the Catholic faith, you are guaranteed access to heaven. Does the Bible teach that? Where in the world do you think you get that authority? So, this week I was watching, sometimes you don't want to enter debates, but if you're going to prepare yourself, sometimes you need to know the other side's argument, right? So I was watching this Catholic apologist this week, and it's literally a video of attacking Baptist history and how we claim that these people are part of our heritage, and he's attacking the Trail of Blood, the book The Trail of Blood, and he's just absolutely attacking it. And he's a total apologist, and it's about an hour long video, and I listen to it, and he keeps referencing the Catholic Church and true history and this book versus that book and this book versus that book and this book versus that book. You know, not once did he ever say, this doesn't line up with the Word of God. Not one time. You know, that would be, that if I was able to sit down with that guy, the one thing I'd ask him, and to be honest, he'd probably eat me alive in a lot of other areas. But the one thing I would ask him is, what are you really basing your history on? On the words of other authors? Is James Beller the all-be-all, end-all of authority on Baptist history? Is it J.T. Christian? Yeah. Are these other authors? No. What does the Word of God say? When I look and I see that the Catholic Church has things like this in its history, when I look at the formation of the Catholic Church, when I look at the structure of the Catholic Church, when I look at the actions of the Catholic Church, the Word of God clearly points out that this stuff is wrong. It's false. So when I go to make my own mind up, because I'm not going to just take the word of all these other men, right? Because then I'd be impressionable. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So what did the Wall, what did the Waldenses believe? What did the Albigenses believe? Well, the Albigenses, another book, right? But it says with regard to the church, that they believed in separation. They believed in local independent assemblies. With regard to baptism, they condemned infant baptism. They held fast to scriptural baptism. With regard to the Word of God, they accepted the Scriptures as the sole authoritative, or as the sole authority for all things of life and godliness. You know, so there's three things right there. Do I agree with that? Every word of it, right? Would I hold those as brethren? Absolutely. If they're born again, absolutely. Are we going to agree on every point? I guarantee you we don't agree on every point. But you're still my brother and sisters in Christ. So it's the Word of God that separates us. And as I listen to this guy talk, I'm like, you hold the church as the highest authority in everything that you're saying. Because every time you speak, it's the church this, the church that, the church, the church, the church, the church. It's not the church. It's the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there is no church. So these people believed the same thing, and they were willing to die for it. The slaughters continued and grew worse, if that is imaginable, as the Dominicans were put in charge of the Inquisition. The Dominicans were known as the Pope's hounds, and these are the people, these are the men that were basically hired by the Catholic Church with the promise of salvation if they did the bidding of the Catholic Church. And in these groups, you have the Jesuits and the Franciscan. Those things sound familiar? Franciscan Saint Health. Right? You'd be amazed at where the fingers of the Catholic Church go. They got their hands in everything. But we're out of time for today. We're going to pick up here next week. I encourage you, if you can, look this up and study this about this particular crusade against the Albigenses. And how this all played out in terms of them being hired. And you tell me, based on that, if you can trust the people that wrote history from the Catholic point of view. Because they won't deny it. It's in their records. They don't deny any of the Crusades. They don't deny any of that stuff. They just explain it away. Because the church has all authority. Because the Pope speaks for God. And I'll go one step further. You know, this whole idea of going out and asking them to swear an oath, right? I believe it's Matthew chapter 5. Tells us about swearing oaths. Can you swear an oath? Can you swear an oath? I want to look that up. Are you your own? You're bought with a price. If you're born again, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. Read Matthew chapter 5 and see, and come back and tell me if you can swear an oath. I do not believe the Word of God teaches us that we can swear an oath to anybody. So, on that note, we got to close. We're out of time. Brother Rob, would you dismiss us in prayer?